Now, to get down to earth and from these big ideas, I want to introduce Dr. Zwelling. She's a physician that lives in Long Beach with her husband, Lance. Dr. Z, as she likes to be called, practices internal medicine in Los Alamitos, California. She was the first to subscribe to the concierge or direct practice model of healthcare delivery in the community and continues to serve as a community leader. Her professional success has been the platform for her political career in healthcare. She served as a member of the Board of Trustees of the California Medical Association after serving as president of the Los Angeles County Medical Association. She continues to work with the County of Los Angeles, where she trained in both internal medicine and emergency medicine, and serves as the chair of the LA County Hospital Commission, representing Supervisor Don Knapp. She served as the president of the AAPP, the American Academy of Private Physicians, until just last month, and is now their chairwoman of the board. She was recently appointed to the steering committee of the Coalition to Protect Patients' Rights and a member of the Physicians Coalition for Responsible Reform, a group of doctors working with the Congressional Doctors Caucus. She has been working with the Benjamin Rush Society and Sally Pipes to bring the debate about patient choice and the right to self-determination to medical students and residency programs. I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Z.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Marcy Dr. Z, and I am my patient's doctor. That's what I do every day. And I must say, I saw the hands that went up. Many of you are physicians, and I hope that you would agree with me that we are members of the greatest profession in the world. Yes? But I needed to be able to do my job. And I couldn't do it under the aegis of insurance and the government. There were jokes around town. How long was the wait in Dr. Zwelling's office? It was usually about 4 hours. And I actually had patients booked until midnight. That's not healthcare. That's not good. So I broke out of that system, if you will, and I invited my patients to join me in what I call choice care. Because life is about choices. In this case, my patients get to choose me. And here's what's really cool. I get to work for them. It's a concept. I get to serve them and their right to invest in their health and in their life. And they get to find me at any time of the day. And mind you, they don't bug me. It's not what happens. They respect me. I respect them and their rights to choose. It makes me a better doctor. And in fact, I invite you, as my colleagues, to be even a better doctor. I tell people that I love competition, and I want the guy down the street to be even better than me tomorrow so that the next day I can be better than him again. Because that's what made us good doctors. We love competition. We love doing what's right for our patients when we're able to. I'd like to give you a couple of examples that just happened this week and why it's so important, I think, for our patients to have an advocate, someone who knows them, believes in them, and understands what their needs are. And that doesn't mean that they listen to everything I say. Oh, no. We argue over what's good and what's bad. But in the end, they win because it's their life and it's not about me. My two examples. A couple of weeks ago, I got a knock on my door from an old friend. His wife was not my patient. He was not my patient. But he needed help. His wife was in the emergency room. And in my practice, we never say no, by the way. We answer the phone, "Hello, how can I help you?" That's access to care. We don't ask what their insurance is, because we know that insurance is not assurance of anything. So I ran over to the emergency room, and she gave me a story. Briefly, she had a cold, kind of a sinus thing. She was on a Z-Pak. She hadn't been feeling really well. She had a slight fever. And that morning, her speech was lost for a brief moment. Her family got concerned, and she came to the emergency room. I listened to the story. She also told me she had a little headache. And I said, remember, I'm a clinician. I'm a doctor. I said, I think you might have a brain abscess. Oh, my goodness. So the ER doctor had already ordered the CT scan, which they ordered anybody who has anything CNS, right? It's the traditional CT scan without contrast. It didn't really show much, but there was maybe something in the temporal lobe. Well, the long and short of it is that by 10 o'clock that night, we had her CT scan, with contrast, her MRI, and finally her CT sinus with contrast. And I was there with the radiologist when we saw the rent in her sphenoid sinus bone and her brain abscess. Now, in the meantime, she was on every antibiotic and acyclovir because I knew that's what she had. It was my gut, and I never left her side. I then called UCLA and my friend at ENT there and got her accepted. And then the story got a little bit interesting because ENT at UCLA said that they could do this very sophisticated surgery, but they were not in charge of the bed system. So I had to wait. What? So I called and I called and I called. Now, I called. I was on the phone with their bed director, explaining that the patient had a brain abscess, and in spite of antibiotics, she needed surgery, and she needed to get to UCLA. He got sick of me at about 10 o'clock at night and finally allowed her the bed, and she went up to UCLA. She had her surgery. Now, the story, it would be nice if it ended there, and it would all be about how a good advocate, because this was nothing about being smart. This was just about being there and about being the patient's advocate. So, but the story didn't end there because, of course, I didn't get a call from our academic friends, not one. She was sent home, and I got my first call. Of course, I had called her every day and her husband every day, so I knew what was going on. But my first call from anyone in charge of her care was from the home health agency, wanting to give me her trough Vanco level. And I said, oh, she's on Vanco. How interesting. And you want me to take over her care. Do you have any record of her care? They had a record. They sent me the record. Now, the doctors at UCLA, who I called, you know, I chased after them, the neurosurgeon, the ENT, everybody, they told me that they're very busy saving lives. They don't have time to talk to me. That's the system we've created, you guys. And you know, you absolutely know that that's what happens. Anyway, the long and short of it is I finally found her ID specialist, a very nice woman. She's on her antibiotics, and in 4 weeks she'll be off those, and she'll be fine. But I venture to guess that she may still be sitting in an emergency room somewhere, or certainly not transferred to a hospital where she could have gotten the expedited care that she really needed, had someone just not been on the phone. So it's not always about being smart, it's just about being there. Now, contrast that with my friend who didn't want to join Choice Care because she didn't want me to see her naked. It's true. She has lots of money, she knows the system, and she's never been sick, so why would you want to invest in your care? And that's fine. That's her choice. And we had dinner last, not this last Tuesday night, but the Tuesday night before, and I find out on that Friday evening that she was admitted to a hospital shortly thereafter. Tuesday night, she called an ambulance after she got home because she had intense back pain. She could hardly move. The ambulance took her to Kaiser. She got morphine and was sent home. Pain continued. She called the ambulance again and said, do not send me to Kaiser. She went to St. Joe's. There the story gets a little mucky, and I find out on Friday evening that she's there and in serious condition, about ready to go into the ICU, and I find her daughter, and I call her daughter, what's up? What happened? We don't know. Mom has horrible pain. She can't move her legs. She has a fever of 103. She has gram-positive cocci growing in her blood, 3 out of 3 cultures or staff. And I said, well, where's the neurosurgeon? What did the MRI show? I mean, this is an epidural abscess, right? They didn't know. MRI hadn't been read yet. So I called a friend who knew a friend at St. Joe's and got a neurosurgeon out of the operating room to go read the damn MRI. Short and long of it is that she finally did get her surgery and she's going to be fine, and after I finish here today, I'll go and visit her. That's not because the system works. That system didn't work either. She has all the money in the world. She had insurance, but she didn't have an advocate. She had a hospitalist. Remember those hospitalist things? The people who take care of you for that very short period of time when you're the sickest, who know nothing about you. What I knew is that that patient, Kathy, had fallen off a horse and she had had a long-standing back injury. You know, those kinds of things that actually when you get a bacteremia or a septicemia are just right there for the wonderful bacteria to set their colony up in. But if you know your patient and you're their advocate, you can find what's in their best interest. If you don't have their interest at heart, if you're addressing an insurance company or the government, you'll go around and around in circles. And everybody in this room goes around and around in circles every day. My day, too much of it is still spent on the phone begging for my patients' medications. I still have to deal with insurance companies and the government. Right. That doesn't change just because I don't take their insurance. It doesn't mean that they don't have insurance. But I so believe in our patients' rights, their right to choice, and their absolute right to self-determination, that I will do whatever I need to do because it is in my self-interest. There is nothing better than a thank you at the end of a day. And every doctor in this room knows that that's the most valuable thing that we have. If it only paid the electric bill, we'd all be multimillionaires. But it's worth it. What you need to do is you need to escape from the system and give yourself the opportunity to work for your patient and do what's in their best interest. What do I sell my patient? I sell them a better, more productive day. An opportunity at a better day. That's it in a nutshell. I'm actually an economist. I went to Wellesley and I was an economics major and I wrote literature a long time ago. And I'll be happy to talk to you about that in another day. But the solution for healthcare is first the patients have to own it because they own their life and it's their right to invest. They need to know the cost of that care. We need transparency, and every physician in this room should be posting their prices, and every hospital should be posting their prices, because you cannot state the value of anything unless you know what it costs. And we need to compete to be better doctors, to work better for our patients. And then they need to compete with us. And everybody needs to do it better, because our patients do deserve a more productive day. But it is up to them to find it for themselves. And I think it's our profession that can help them do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marcy. And, you know, what's great about that presentation is it just reminds us that, you know, we talk about these abstract issues, healthcare, health insurance, and they're all important, but ultimately it's, you know, it's 10 minutes of a doctor's time with you trying to take what they've learned and figure out how to help you best. And then follow through with it. And Marsh does a great job bringing that point home.